Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
I want you to look, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to get started. Jeremiah chapter 18, we're going to start at verse 1. And the Bible says this: the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." Let me just pause for a second and let you know God can talk to you anywhere. Sometimes we think He can only talk to us at church, or He can only talk to us at certain places. But God said, "I want you to go down to the potter shop. I'll talk to you wherever I want to talk to you." So I did as He told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We ask today that you would speak to our hearts. At the end of this message, God, we're going to ask you what it is that you're saying to us. And so I pray right now that throughout the course of this message, that you would begin to speak to every one of our hearts. Because God, no matter how we came in today, we want to walk out that other door changed and different and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Jonathan, for those of you that don't know, Jonathan is our worship pastor. He is the guy that stands over here and sings and plays the guitar. And his wife, Anna, is not our worship pastor, but she is wonderful, and we love Anna so much. And it's funny, these guys, I love them. And the other day, we have, like, in my garage, I've got myself and then my other brother-in-law, Jesse, and my other brother-in-law, Jonathan, and we all live around a mile away from each other. And so none of us ever buys enough tools to get any job done, because we always know that if I don't have it, one of these two does. And so I'm constantly getting texts and phone calls. "Hey, man, do you have my whatever? Can I come in?" And they both have garage door openers for my house. I just realized I don't have a single garage door opener for your houses. 9 o'clock at night, I'm laying in my bed because I'm old and I go to sleep early. And I hear my garage door open. And then someone comes in and I go back downstairs later and there's a ladder missing, or there's an air gun. There's something missing all the time. And I just hope it's one of them. I assume it is. I'm probably getting robbed. So I was talking to Jonathan the other day. He said, "Hey, I need to come get something." And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, Anna wants..." And how many of you know every home improvement project starts out with "Anna wants"? Now, it may not be that Anna. Maybe it's your Anna. But it always starts out. Because no husband really ever sets out to do anything. We are content to live in a tent down by the river. But when we get married, all of a sudden we have to do these things like make up a bed, right? I didn't even use sheets when I was single. I just had a sleeping bag in the middle of a king-size bed. I look like a burrito every night, because sleeping bags don't get dirty. You never have to wash them. So that's what I did. I'm just now realizing how gross that sounds. And so John and Anna, so Anna wants me to do something. I said, "Has Anna ever done a thing in her life, Jonathan?" He said, "Not since we got married." That's what he said. And I'm on stage, so it must be true. And so John's having to put up molding, and John had to do this, and John had to do that. And the other day, it's funny. So in every home improvement project, in every remodel, there's a few things that have to happen. So Jonathan wanted to create more space in his driveway. He had this huge rock wall full of dirt, like it was part of the yard, big rock wall. And he said, "I think," this is the one thing he wanted to do. He said, "I think if I can knock that wall down and get a couple of picks and shovels, we can dig up all the dirt, knock the wall down, dig up all the dirt, move it to the backyard, and then I can pour concrete, build a new wall, pour concrete, and have a new pad right there." I said, "That sounds like a great idea." So he got out there with some hammers, and he started knocking down that wall, and he worked for about 2 weeks knocking down the wall. And then he got out there, had all the dirt, and he tried to get me to come over and help him, and tried to get some other folks. And I think Will came over one day, and we worked for about 3 hours in the sun, in the rain, and we moved about that much dirt. And I told him, I said, "John, at some point you got to get some help. And I'm not talking about me. You need to get a professional out here with a machine that can do all this work for you, you know? And so he did have to do that. But here's the thing. When it comes to remodeling, in order to remodel something, in order to get something new, something old has to be broken. Maybe you didn't hear me. In order to get something new, and some of y'all asking God for something new, some of y'all been asking God for a blessing, you've been asking God for a new job, you've been asking God for this thing, and you see a promise ahead of you that you want, and you want something good from God, and God says, I want to give it to you, but in order to get something new, something's got to get broken. And sometimes, here's the thing, sometimes you can't do the job yourself. You can try to do the job yourself, but like Jonathan, you're going to end up looking at a mound of dirt that you can't move. And you're going to have to call in a professional. Can I tell you today, God wants to break some stuff in us to prepare us for where He wants us to go. And we don't often want to be broken. We want to try to fix it ourselves. If I just read the right book, Pastor, if I can just go to this conference, if I can just hear this one guy speak, if I can just get that man to pray for me, then all of a sudden everything's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have to get a professional, God, to come take care of you. Everybody wants a blessing, but nobody wants to be broken. Breaking is a process, see? It's a process that God puts us through. And I want to talk about this for a second because it's important to see. Sometimes we think of a breaking as a one-time act. Breaking isn't a one-time act. If God's going to break something in your life, it's going to be a process. It's like going to school and not a fun school. We're talking about dangerous prayers, and this is one of those prayers. Break me is not a prayer I want to pray, but it's a prayer that's necessary to get me to the blessing that I want to have. And when I put myself into this process, it's like a horse, a wild stallion that has to be broken by the cowboy. How many of y'all ever watched old cowboy movies? And they always get on the wild stallion. And what happens to the cowboy first time he jumps on the wild stallion? He gets bucked right off. That's right. He hits the dirt. But you know what? That horse doesn't mind when the cowboy puts out some feed for him. That horse doesn't mind when the cowboy puts some water out. That horse doesn't mind when the cowboy builds him a little barn that he can go get in out of the rain. But the horse doesn't like it when the cowboy gets on his back. The horse doesn't like it when the cowboy puts a little pressure on him. And that's what happens to us most of the time when God begins to put a little pressure on us. We like it whenever everything's going good. We like it when He's just dumping blessings on us. But whenever He puts a little pressure on us, and begins to reveal some things. Last week we prayed, search me. And we said, if we pray, search me, then He's going to reveal some stuff in our life. But in order to get past those things He reveals, there has to be a breaking. And that's where we begin to buck God most of the time. Some of y'all begin to curse the devil when it's God putting the pressure on you. We start thinking that God's the problem. And listen, once the horse gets broken, once the horse realizes that the cowboy wants to use him, wants to bless him, wants to really give him more value, then all of a sudden the cowboy, all he's got to do is just whistle and the horse will come walking up. The cowboy can slip on that horse and he can just say, giddy up, and that horse will take off. Whereas before, the horse is kicking and snorting, and when I was younger, my dad decided to get goats. And when you get goats, you got to have something to protect the goats. So you buy a donkey. And so he buys a donkey that has never been ridden, has never been touched, and does not like people. And I remember this donkey, whenever we had the food, the donkey would come running. But when we wanted to move the donkey from one pen to another, it was not going to move. And so we would have one person on the front with a rope pulling. And my dad, this is classic how my dad and I grew up. This is how I grew up with my dad. He would be the one on the front of the donkey pulling with the rope. And guess where he would tell me to go? If you just get on the backside, son, just push that thing's butt, it'll come right in here. After that donkey kicked me, I said, I'm through with this job. And we had this older guy out there who had his own farm, and he said, you know how You older guys in the room, I love older guys because y'all just tell all the young guys. And I'm trying to get up to that older guy status. I've got a few young guys I can kind of tell them what to do, but I'm not quite there yet. But this old guy was just like, move out of the way, young buck. You know how it is. And this dude, this has nothing to do with my story, but I just like it. He got his shoulder underneath that donkey's butt to where that donkey didn't have any leverage really to kick him. He got underneath him and kind of lifted up, and they shoved that donkey right into the pen. I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I got back there like this, and I got kicked. Just can we just take a message break for a second? I went fishing one time. You ain't going to believe this. I caught, you know, everybody's got a fish story. This one's true, though. I swear it's true. I caught a barracuda that was 54 inches long off the shore. That's some kind of record. And I get this, and if y'all ever seen a barracuda, they got teeth this big, especially that big. And his mouth was about that big around. And I've got the reel, and I'm getting him up close to the shore, and we're trying to get that thing in, and Jesse was with me, and my dad was with me, and my dad would not touch that barracuda. He would tell Jesse to touch the barracuda. He said, Jesse, reach in there and grab that thing. It won't bite you. That's what kind of person my dad is. That's why I'm a little off today. Breaking is a process. And here's the thing about the breaking process is you can't run from the process. Once you put yourself or once God puts you in the breaking process, you're in it until you're broken. Because what we do sometimes, we think if I could just go to another job, I can't stand this job anymore. It's the boss's fault. It's the co-worker's fault. I can't stand this boss anymore. And we leave and go to another job. And guess what? Every job we go to, the bosses are terrible and the co-workers are terrible. Why do you think that is? It's you. It's not them. And you're in this process. We think, if I could just, it's my wife, Pastor. My wife is just crazy. She's lost her mind. If I could just get me another woman. I promise you, every woman you pick up is going to be just as crazy as the last one. Because it's you that's crazy, not them. God's got you in a process. If I could just get me to another church. I know there's a better preacher out there. There probably are. But I'm going to promise you something. You got a problem in here. It's probably because God's got you in a process. And every church, you can go to every church in this city. No matter how great the pastors are and how great the teams are, you're going to find some issues. Because what you're seeing in everybody else is something that's really going on in you. When I was in ministry school, I had to live in a house with 11 guys. There's not a smell in the world that can describe what a house with 11 guys smells like. And in this house, there was this one guy, and he wanted control of the air conditioning. Now, this man slept in his underwear with no sheets, no covers, and so he would get mad if the air was less than 80 degrees in the house because he would start sweating. And I said, we're going to turn it down, and you're going to cover up. You know, like, that makes the most sense. And I remember getting so mad at this guy. And eventually, I started thinking, it was like God spoke to me. And I looked, what he was doing was wrong. I get it. And sometimes the people in your life, what they're doing around you is wrong. But it doesn't matter what they're doing. I tell my son all the time, he's in here, oh, buddy, this is a bad time to start coming to church. He doesn't realize how much I preach about my family. I tell my son all the time, because he'll get in trouble for something, and he'll say, but why didn't Emma get in trouble? Why didn't Colt get in trouble? I said, because it's not about Emma and Colt, it's about you. You worry about you. And what we want to do is we worry about everybody else. And here's what I think I believe. This is what I feel like God has showed me in my life, is that a lot of times the problems we see in other people is really something that God is trying to show us in ourselves. And when I begin to look at that fella and I begin to get mad at him, I begin to realize that I was selfish, and at the core of it all, I didn't care about anybody else and how they slept. I only cared about me, to be honest. But I had this way of justifying my anger. And so that's what happens is we think the process can stop if we can just go somewhere else, but it can't. No matter where you go, it's going to follow you because that's how God is. Here's the other thing about a process. Is a process prepares you for a promise. We wanted to change churches, man. We were stuck in the skate center for a long time. And those of y'all that are new today, you may look at this building, you may think, well, this isn't that much. It's just a little old box with some tin and some wood. But man, if you could have seen us back in the day. I mean, we were living in Tent City. We had curtains set up everywhere, and little kids come running through the church. They'd run right through a curtain, pull the whole wall down. Can you imagine if the whole wall fell down today? That's what it was like in our church. And we used to pray, God, please give us another building. God, please send us somewhere. You know, this particular building came open a couple of times while we were over at the skate center. And for whatever reason, it just always fell through. We never got to move in over here. But I believe that the reason that we never got to move was because we weren't ready to move. We were praying, God, give us a place to go. And God was saying, I would rather make you ready to be able to go. Because if I give you a place to go right now, I can't trust what you would do with it. Because you're not ready for it. Again, going back to kids. If you've got a kid that's not ready to drive, you're not going to give them the keys to your car. You've got to be prepared. So we need to stop praying, God, give me the promise. And we need to start praying, God, make me ready for the promise. The Israelites came out of Egypt, the Bible says, but the problem was they couldn't get Egypt out of them. They got stuck in a desert complaining about how they wish they were back in Egypt. I wish I had the fish. I wish I had the onions. I wish I had... They always wanted something stinky. I wish I had this. And they complained all the time. And God said, you aren't ready for the promise. I got the promise, but you're not ready for it. If I put you in the promise right now, you'd ruin it. And God put them through a process for 40 years. He got them out of Egypt, but he put them in a process to get Egypt out of them for 40 years. The process is what prepares us. You can't go into something new taking in your old mindset. I remember I used to have a pastor one time, and I was working for this pastor, and people would come in. You'd hire somebody, you know, from another church that would come in to work on staff with you. And I remember that pastor would tell us, I don't want to hear what you did at your old church unless I ask for it. He said, but you keep that to yourself. Because people would always come in and say, well, Pastor, we used to do this. And he said, what you used to do is not what we are doing, and it may not get us to where we want to go. So you keep that past in the past. And I used to think that was dumb until I realized what he was doing. He was saying, you can't bring an old mindset into a new promise. The process makes us stronger. My friend, I got a friend of mine, a neighbor, and he was telling me the other day that his cousin is like 6'3", 6'4", 225, big, strong guy. He said the guy can just lift the gym. I mean, when he goes into the weight room, he can just pick the whole thing up. I mean, the guy is just a beast. And he said, he started having some pain in the back of his shoulder, and it was kind of bothering him, and so he finally decided to go get it checked out. And when he went to get it checked out, the doctor said, we're going to have to do a little bit of surgery. And they did a little bit of surgery on the guy, and he had to have his arm in a sling for about 6 weeks. But he said once he got through the 6 weeks of kind of rehab, the guy went right back into the gym and picked up right where he left off, and he said he was 20% stronger after the surgery than he was before. Why did that happen? Because there was something inside of him that was holding him back the whole time and he didn't even realize it. And once he get that one thing removed, then his strength increased. There might be something inside of you that's holding you back. You've been praying for years for the promise. You've been praying for years for this thing to happen. And God's saying, I'm trying to help you get there, baby, but you got one thing inside of you. It may be small, but there's something small inside of you. If you would just let me do a little bit of surgery. And what we do is we say, I'm scared of surgery. It's needles. I'm scared of surgery. It's knives, and you're going to put me to sleep, and I don't want surgery. When I had that mass in my chest when I was younger, and I didn't know what it was, and I thought it might be cancerous, when the doctor said, let's do surgery, I said, when do we start? You know, like, put me down right now, because I want to get this out of here. It's important for you to see today that the process is going to make you stronger. But if you're too scared of the process, then you'll never get what you need out of it. God's got this process of breaking. And he's not just doing it willy-nilly. He's not doing it because he's mad at you. He's not doing it because he hates you. As a matter of fact, he's doing it for a reason. Because the breaking removes pride from our life. I could have said the breaking removes sin, but at the end of the day, in my opinion, all sin stems from pride. Pride is the original sin. The Bible says that Satan had pride. He thought he could do it better than God. And so God said, do this, and shot him down to earth like a lightning bolt, the Bible says. That's fast. Satan had pride, and that's what we get. We start getting pride in our life, and when we get pride, we put ourselves in a position of opposition against God, and now God can't use us at all. He can't do anything with pride. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:5-6. It says, in the same way you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Check this out. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty power of God. Right there, he says, so put yourself in the process of breaking. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. When we humble ourselves, we put ourselves in a position for the blessing. So what is this breaking doing in us today? The breaking is removing pride and installing humility in our life. And that's the only way we can get grace from God. That's the only way we can get honor from God, is by learning to break pride and receive humility. Here's the other thing that happens whenever God breaks you, is it forces us, it makes us depend on God. I really feel like whenever our church was moving through that season, I've shared this before plenty of times, but some of you are new, you may not realize this, but whenever God was having us in that transition period, when we were just kind of at our wits' end at the skate center, we were at a point at the skate center, we weren't growing, nobody knew was coming, more people were leaving than they were showing up, we didn't have any money, and I decided to help us out, I'm going to go get me a job, so I got me a job to try to help the church out financially, thinking that was going to help, and we were still struggling financially. And we get to this point where it's just me and one other guy that's helping me on staff, and he quit on me. And I just thought, this is it. I am done. And I try to be happy. I try to have a lot of joy. But I went through this season of depression. And I went through this season of depression where I would come in and I would preach as hard as I could, as strong as I could. And I would put this fake smile on my face. And I would go home. And as soon as I walked in the door, I'd go lay on the couch or go lay in the bed and cover up. And I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to talk to my family. I didn't want to be around anybody. I was depressed. I was discouraged. I felt beat up. I felt like God had abandoned me. And then I got some of the leaders in the church and I brought them in and I talked to Perry. And I said, this is it. I'm quitting. I mean, I'm done. I don't think I can do this anymore. Obviously, I'm not the right man for this job. And as I began to go through this process, I called in the leaders and I said, guys, I'm ready. If y'all want to let me go and find someone else, let's do it. And I'm crying. I don't ever cry, but I was crying that day. It was hard. It was a hard day. Hard day. And it was in that moment that I realized that everything I was saying about myself was true. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I had to, at that moment, rely on God to do everything. Up until that point, I was relying on myself. I thought if I could just go to another conference, if I can just listen to another speaker, if I can just get somebody to help me, and we would pay money to get people to come in and try to coach me to be a better pastor and lead the church. And those coaches never did work out. It would make me so mad. They wouldn't show up and help. I thought, you're just wasting my money. I'm still bitter about it. I've got to get some forgiveness. But I was ready to give up, and that was exactly where God wanted me to be, and that's exactly where God wants you to be. He wants you to get to the point where you're ready to give up, you're ready to bow out, you're saying, God, this burden is too heavy for me to carry, because that's when he's going to say, that's exactly where you need to be so you can learn that you got to rely on me. I want you to depend on me, because pride says I can do it myself. And pride leads us into all kinds of sins. But humility says, I can't do it myself. I got to have God. Have you ever heard the saying, God will never put on you more than you can bear? Did you know that's not in the Bible? That's a straight lie. That's a lie from the devil to get you to think that whenever you're facing something big, that God's not in it and that God has left you. The fact is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says just the opposite of that. It says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. This is Paul speaking. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. How many of you ever feel like that? Crushed, overwhelmed, and beyond my ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. I mean, these cats are saying, we were so beat up. We were waiting on death. Like, that was our only hope. We were just sitting there waiting to die. And some of us are in that process today. Some of you are in this place where you feel crushed, overwhelmed, you can't endure anymore, and you feel like you want to die. You're just thinking, it's not that you're not saved. You love Jesus, and you're just saying, if He would just take me home right now, right? If He would just take me home right now, I would be happy. But look at what He says. He says, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. Can I tell you something this morning? You may feel like you're down and out, and you're crushed, and you're totally out of the game, and you're ready to die, but God will rescue you. And He will continue to rescue you. You might just be in a process. I was talking to my kids the other day and I said, do you ever get upset and you feel like you're always getting in trouble? They said, yes. I said, the reason you feel like you're always getting in trouble is not because mom and dad don't like you. It's not that we don't love you. It's because God is trying to teach you something about yourself. And you need to stop worrying about everybody else and stop thinking that mom and dad are mad or the teacher's mad or the coach is mad. And you need to start saying, what is it that God wants to do in me? Because I'm in a breaking process. And I feel overwhelmed, but if I can learn to just depend on Him, He'll rescue me. He'll get me out of this. There may be something He needs to pull out to make me stronger. And how many of y'all feel really beat up today? How many of y'all want me to stop talking? I do. I'm tired of this message already. I told the team before we're praying, I said, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like this message. I don't even want to do what I'm going to say to do at the end. When I'm going to say at the end, we need to pray, God, break me, I don't even want to do it. Because I've been broken before and it's not fun. But let me tell you something that the Bible says. Let me give you some good news and we'll close with three good news, okay? And then we'll do baptism, which is going to be outstanding. First thing you need to know today is God is close to the broken. God is close to the broken. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, I live in the high and holy place. But listen who He lives with. With those spirits who are contrite and humble, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. That word contrite means to take a brick and beat it with a hammer until it breaks, and then you beat it again until it turns into dust. God says, I live in the high and lofty place. I live in the penthouse. I am the CEO on the top floor. But you know who I hang out with? I hang out with people that are broken and crushed and lowly. In other words, He's the CEO, but every day at lunch, He goes downstairs and gets all the homeless people that live around His building. He brings them all up to the top floor, and He brings out catered meals for them. That's who He hangs out with. So today, if you feel crushed, and you feel broken, and you feel abandoned, let me tell you something. God is not far away from you. He would rather hang out with you than hang out with the people that think they got it all together. He wants to be with people that are crushed and broken. Because we depend on Him. Psalm 51:17 says the sacrifices are of God. That means the things that God really wants. What God really desires. See, it's not going to say God really wants money. It's not going to say God really wants your time. It's not going to say that God really wants, you know, all this. It says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise. He'll never despise a broken person. He will always gravitate to things that are broken. Number two, breaking always precedes a blessing. Breaking always precedes a blessing. Wendy's here today. She's about 10 months pregnant. I don't know how far along she is. She's having a baby next month. Next month. We're excited. Got Aces coming. Here's the thing. When a woman's water breaks, that's a sign. It's a sign that says that for 9 months, I've been uncomfortable. For 9 months, I've been in pain. For 9 months, I've had a body been changing all over. For 9 months, I've had hormones going crazy. But as soon as that water breaks, it's a sign that says that time of trouble is coming to an end and there is a blessing on the way. When you feel like you're being broken today, can I tell you that's a sign that says that there is a blessing on the way. There's something God wants to do in your life. He is about to give birth to a promise in your life. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't even look at our troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let me give you the last good news today. Salvation comes to the broken. Salvation comes to the broken. The Bible says in Matthew 5, Jesus speaking, 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That word poor in spirit in the Greek has to do with, there's two kinds of poor in the Greek. The Greek, they had poor people considered working poor people. In other words, you had a job, you just weren't making enough money really to get by, or you were making just enough money to barely get by. Maybe it meant you had to have two or three jobs to get by. So you're poor as far as you ain't got a lot, but at least you got a job, at least you're making it. And then they had another level of poor, and that's where we get the word po from, because you didn't have time to finish the word out. They are just dead broke. They ain't got nothing, right? And so these people are the ones that had to beg on the side of the road just to survive. And what Jesus is saying here is He's saying, blessed are those that are spiritually poor, not poor working class, poor, you ain't got nothing, nothing, or nobody. He said, those are the people that the kingdom of God will come to. Those are the people that will find salvation. Because what He doesn't want is He doesn't want us coming to Him, telling Him all the reasons why we should inherit the kingdom. He wants us coming to Him with all the reasons why we shouldn't. He doesn't want you showing up saying, "Well, God, look at my resume here. My dad was a pastor and a missionary. I read my Bible every day. Could I please get into heaven?" Those are the kind of people He doesn't really care that much about. You know who He wants to talk to? He wants to talk to the people and say, "God, I would love to get in heaven, but you know what? I ain't got nothing. I haven't been all that good. I got some issues over here. I had this addiction. I messed up. I did this thing. I said these things. I ain't got nothing." Jesus says, those are the people I want right there. Those are the people I'm looking for. They're the ones that are broke and crushed. They're the ones I want to get. The reason is, another version says that word poor means, it means blessed are those that realize they have a need for Jesus. That's the thing. Sometimes when we got a lot of stuff and we got a lot of good things going for us, we don't realize our need Him. He says, "I need people that realize they need me. I need people that can see that they got to have me." We were sitting in my living room with all the leaders crying, ready to quit, ready to give up. They told me no, which which made me mad. I wanted them to make a decision for me. They told me no. And so I said, okay, well, if I'm going to pastor, I got to do it differently. My wife and I prayed. We realized that we've got to depend on God even more. And I just said, you know, there's got to be some pride in me. There's some areas in me that I feel like I can do it. And so we're gonna let those things just be broken, and we're going to just go after God, and it's got to be Him. And I thought that was the end of the breaking. I thought, this is it. This is the end of the breaking. We're good. And so we found this place not long after that. And in Easter of that year, we moved into this place. And I just thought, man, this is it. Like, this is the promise. The breaking part is over. And I thought, we're going to just get another worship pastor in here, because the other guy was our worship pastor. We're going to get another worship pastor in here. For a whole summer, we didn't have a worship pastor. So for a whole summer, we had our team would get up and they would lead 1 week, and then we would have to show video worship the next week. Now, video worship is great. The problem is, if you're coming from live worship to video worship as a pastor, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit embarrassing. It's like if you had a car and then you went to one of those bicycles that had about 3 seats on it, and then that's your family vehicle. You know, at first you're just kind of a little bit embarrassed. You know, it's like, yeah, I had a car. Ching, ching, ching. Now I got this, you know. And we love it. It's great. But you're lying because you want a car. And I would get up here and be like, wasn't video worship awesome today? And some of you guys would be like, yeah. And we were all lying, you know. We were still in the process. We were still in the process. But it wasn't long. God began to bless this place. People began to get saved. And people began to give. And all of a sudden our finances went up. I was able to be brought back on. We were able to hire Jonathan. Everything began to go up. But the problem is, if at any point in the upswing, I begin to think it's about me, that I did this, guess where I get to go back to school to? Brokenness. So it's a constant, daily, God, I'm putting myself back in brokenness today. It's not about me, it's about you. None of this is me. This is all you. There may be some of you today, you're sitting in that same place. Yeah, you're not a pastor. It doesn't have to do with church, but it has to do with your family. It has to do with your job. It has to do with your life. It has to do with your purpose. And you're struggling today. And you're broken and you're hurting. Can I tell you this morning, that's right where God wants you. It's right where God wants you. And what you can't do at this point is you can't begin to pull away from Him. You've got to get as close to Him as you possibly can. Get around people that can help you. We're about to start a small group. Get yourself in a small group and just be really honest with those people. Just say, hey, look, guys, I'm in a broken place right now. I need people praying with me. That's what I had to do. I had to just let it out. I had to say, hey, I'm broken. I'm broken. I look good on the outside. I'm holding it together on the outside, but on the inside, I'm crushed. I'm like brick dust in here. I need you to help me. And that's where you got to put yourself today. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? We're going to pray. If you're getting baptized this morning, why don't you go ahead and go get changed while we pray? At our church, here's what we do. We do a couple of things at the end of the service. We're going to all pray together. And we're going to pray this one prayer. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that He's trying to tell us today? I'm not going to assume that God's telling you any one thing. I'm just going to let Him speak to your heart today. I want you to listen for what He wants to say to you today. And the second thing we do is we ask you, if you need prayer, we ask you to come down to the front. We're going to have some people coming down in just a second. And if you need prayer, I'm going to want you to come out to the front, and I want you to let them pray with you. Don't you dare leave this place today needing prayer and not getting it. Take advantage of us while we're here today. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning? And I want you to begin to pray, even on your own. Just begin to pray. And just begin to ask God. Say, Holy Spirit, what is it you're trying to say to me today? What is it you're trying to speak to my heart? What is the thing inside of me maybe that needs to be broken today? There may be some of you, you're not serving God at all. You're not giving Him everything you've got. And today God says, salvation is for the broken. And I want to save you today. Maybe your brokenness has led you to a place where you realize, finally, that you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, I am so happy for you. Matter of fact, I want to pray for you right now. pray on your own, but I'm going to pray a prayer and you pray it on your own. But we're going to just say this. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that you would come into my heart and change my life. Set me free from myself. Set me free from my pride. Break the sin that's been holding me back. Today I give you my life and I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I dedicate myself to you this morning. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.